From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And would like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other sort of information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news, first dot lines. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani says Indonesia to build sustainable economy. Indonesian House asks palm oil's inclusion in Indonesia, European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. Those are the lines, now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. The government is determined to build a sustainable economy that will transform economic growth policies through investment and ensure that development does not come from debt, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said. Minister Sri Mulyani said at the 2019 Financial Times Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank Summit on the topic Delivering Indonesia's Infrastructure Vision 2019-2024 in Jakarta on Tuesday, the transformation of the policy was initiated by improving and maintaining the investment climate so that it could continue to drive the economy, bearing in mind the double-digit growth required in this sector. The minister explained a number of regulations that were keeping people back from investing in Indonesia were abolished and replaced with the omnibus law to bring in investments. The government will also improve the balance of payments as the domestic economy grows, while the current account deficit condition will also increase due to the deficit in oil and gas imports. The minister hoped that investment in the energy sector, including oil and gas, would help the balance of payments to continue to grow and at the same time reduce the deficit. The House of Representatives Commission 4 has urged the government to include palm oil in the negotiations on Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. Palm oil is a strategic commodity that supports the national economy. Vice Chairman of the House Commission 4, Hasan Aminuddin, sat in Jakarta on Tuesday. Palm oil contributes hundreds of trillions of rupiahs to the country's foreign exchange coffers and creates millions of jobs for Indonesian people. He also sat on the sidelines of a hearing between the House Commission 4 and the Directorate General of Plantation of the Agricultural Ministry and the Association of Indonesian Palm Oil Producers that palm oil is a blessing for the Indonesian nation. Therefore, the government must insist on the inclusion of palm oil in the agenda of various international forums, including negotiations on the Indonesia-European Union SEPA. He supported Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi's steps to treat palm oil as a priority issue in the negotiations on the Indonesia-European Union SEPA, in line with President Joko Widodo's mission to develop and protect the palm oil industry. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan met Busan Mayor Oh Kon Don to discuss the possibility of opening direct flights on the Indonesia-Busan route. The meeting with the Busan Mayor is part of a series of Panjaitan's activities in South Korea to accompany President Joko Widodo during the ASEAN Republic of Korea Summit 2019 on Tuesday. In a written statement released on Wednesday, Mayor Oh urged the Indonesian government to consider opening direct flights linking Indonesia to Busan to cater to the increasing number of tourists. The minister responded warmly to the proposal for opening direct flights connecting Indonesia and Busan. The minister affirmed that the direct flights will link not only Jakarta to Busan, but also Medan and Manado to Busan. The meeting also encompassed discussion pertaining to Busan businessmen's plan to expand their investment in Indonesia. Several Busan investors are currently engaged in footwear and textile industries. Indonesia has invited Mexico to conduct research together to develop palm oil-based biofuel as renewable energy during the third meeting of the Indonesian-Mexico Consultative Committee on Agriculture held in Mexico City. At a meeting held on November 21 and 22, the Indonesian delegation led by Chief of the Foreign Cooperation Bureau and the Agriculture Ministry also over Mexico cooperation in controlling oil palm disease. The Indonesian Embassy in Mexico City said in a press statement released on Tuesday. The initiative received a warm response from Mexico that plans to learn from Indonesia about the development of palm oil, including the development of biofuels, since Indonesia has successfully applied a 20% blended biodiesel program and is gearing up for the production of 30% blended biodiesel. At the meeting, the two countries also discussed ways to strengthen the cow fat industry in Indonesia and cooperation in genetic improvement of several farm commodities such as coconut, oil palm, palm oil, cacao, and coffee. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Ministry of Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises invites Directorate of Customs to increase product export from small medium enterprises sectors throughout Indonesia. This was stated by Director General of Customs Heru Pambudi after a meeting with Minister of Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises Teten Mastuki in Jakarta on Tuesday. Heru Pambudi added that several things which get fully supports from customs and excise, among others special fiscal incentive for small and medium enterprises and facilities to import raw materials and machines which can be utilized by SME, especially the products to fulfill the need of export market. On the same occasion, Deputy of Production and Marketing Division of the Ministry of Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises, Victoria Simanungkalit, said that her side will keep opening new opportunities, especially for SMEs products export. The cooperation is aimed to use facilities given by the customs and excise. The Indonesian Cyber Media Association, AMSI, is set to hold on Thursday its 2019 Indonesia Digital Conference, an annual conference that this year will focus on business development and the country's digital environment. AMSI had, when Sen Laos Magut said, the conference, slated to take place in Jakarta Theater in central Jakarta, will serve as a platform for exchanging ideas, experiences, and strategies to build a future digital ecosystem. According to Wen Sen Laos, things that are impossible have been made possible in the digital era thanks to technological leaps forward and innovation. As a body that accommodates cyber media companies, Wen Sen Laos said that AMSI had been proactive in pushing for a healthy and competitive digital business ecosystem so it could create opportunities and improve people's welfare. Chief Organizer Meta Dharmasa Putra said President Joko Widodo was set to inaugurate the annual event and that the committee would set up four discussion panels, each with different themes. Governor of Jakarta Anies Baswedan said on Thursday that he was mandated to lead the Indonesian Provincial Government Association for the 2019-2023 period. Under his leadership, he had several programs that would be implemented, including introducing new variables for calculating allocated development budget for archipelagic regions, he told journalists after attending the APPSI's national meeting in Jakarta. The governors, whose territories consist of islands and isles, complained about having a one-size-fits-all method for calculating the development budget for both land-based territories and archipelagic ones. According to the governor, for the archipelagic areas with a small population, their development tends to go rather slowly. The new formulated variables for calculating the allocated development budget would later be over to the central government as a working program. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is commentary. The title of commentary for today's edition is The Role of Indonesia in the UN Security Council. Members of the UN Security Council have held a retreat in Bali, Indonesia recently. This activity was attended by Vietnam, that is also a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council for 2020 up to 2021 period. The interesting thing is that Indonesia is seeking an approach with the United Nations to unite perceptions about efforts to tackle the problem of terrorism. The role of Indonesia and the United States in the issue of terrorism in the UN Security Council is very central, considering that Indonesia is the chair of the Terrorism Sanctions Committee and the US is the major discussant on the issue of terrorism at the UNSC. The issue of combating terrorism is one of the key discussions, since the issue will be the main theme at the Indonesian presidency at the UNSC 2020. Indonesia has the trust of several committees that have a major role in the UN Security Council. Indonesia's leadership and initiatives in combating terrorism and preventing the spread of weapons of mass destruction also receive recognition and appreciation from both members of the Security Council and UN member states. Aside from being chair of the 1267 Sanctions Committee, Ambassador Dian Triansyah Jani, Indonesia has also been given responsibility as chairwoman of the UNSC 1540 Resolution Committee on preventing the spread of weapons of mass destruction by non-state actors, chair of the UNSC Resolutions 1988 Sanction Committee on the Taliban, and deputy chair of the committee UNSC Sanctions on South Sudan and the UNSC Sanctions Committee on Iraq. For the first time, Indonesia initiated the implementation of the UN Security Council retreat, where member countries of the UN Security Council could discuss informally in a very positive atmosphere. This is an achievement for Indonesia in encouraging the strengthening and cooperation among the member countries of the UNSC. In this retreat, there was a very open discussion between the five permanent members of the UNSC and non-permanent members of the UNSC, as well as related think tank representatives. We hope that this positive climate that is built can continue in the discussion and resolution of the various issues at the UNSC. Indonesia's initiative organizing the UNSC retreat is in line with Indonesia's commitment to become a consensus builder and encouraging one voice in the UNSC. So far, Indonesia has proven to be one of the countries that is trusted to bridge the differences of opinions among the member countries of the UNSC. After the retreat meeting initiated by Indonesia, we certainly hope that this initiative will bring about a positive impact for Indonesia. This increasingly shows its role in international politics. Free and active politics that can be referred to the UN Security Council. Well, listener, that's the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. We start from an event on November 29, 1947, when the United Nations General Assembly issued Resolution Number 181.
On November 29, 1947, General Assembly of the United Nations agreed plan for division of Palestine to end conflict in Palestine by issuing resolution number 181. The plan was agreed by General Assembly of the United Nations with 33 agree, 13 reject, and 10 neutral. The plan broke Palestine in the region for Jewish and Arab, with a great region of Jerusalem, including Bethlehem, under international supervision. Jewish side received coastal area around Tel Aviv, region around Galilee Lake, and region around Galilee Lake, and region of Negev Desert. Meanwhile, Arab side received remaining of Palestine, including a small enclave of Jaffa. In the south of Tel Aviv, Jewish side also received around 55% of total area of land, while Arab received 45%. The next event is that in 1963, accident of Trans-Canada DC-8 Airlines occurred. Aircraft, which was just taking off from Montreal to Toronto, fell down on November 29, 1963 and killed 118 passengers, including 7 crews. The tragedy occurred at 6:32 of local time, around 20 miles from Montreal International Airport. Part of aircraft debris reportedly dispersed until 1 kilometer from toll road. The aircraft was allegedly still burning 2 hours after the plane crashed. And the last event was in 1971, about Day of the Corps of Employees of the Republic of Indonesia. Corps of Employees of the Republic of Indonesia, Korpri, is an organization in Indonesia whose members consist of civil servants, employees of state-owned enterprises, regional-owned enterprises and subsidiaries, as well as village government equipment. Korpri, which was established on November 29, 1971, based on Presidential Decree No. 82/1971, is an organization to gather all employees of Republic of Indonesia. The date of the establishment of Korpri is commemorated as Korpri Day. That was Today in History.
Selalu meresap beragung. Mungkinkah
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia, titled The Increasing of Economic Cooperation of Indonesia and India. The Indonesian and Indian governments support the development of economic relations and cooperation between Aceh and the Andaman Nicobar Islands in accordance with the vision and agreement that has been made between President Joko Widodo and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. To support this development, the two countries held business meetings to support and explore cooperation in the fields of infrastructure, tourism, connectivity, fisheries, and energy. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia Pradeep K. Rawat in the Indonesia-India Business and Investment Meeting in Jakarta Monday, November 25th, said it was important to connect the relations between the two countries that had existed for a long time and bring them up in the form of concrete economic cooperation that was mutually beneficial. It is scheduled in December, where will be held a joint task force meeting on the development of connectivity between Aceh and the Andaman Nicobar Islands. The joint task force, which consists of government and business actors from both regions, is a follow-up to the signing of the Joint Vision Agreement on Maritime Cooperation in the Indo-Pacific region, which was signed by the heads of governments of the two countries during the visit of Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi to Indonesia in May 2018. Meanwhile, Acting Governor of Aceh, Nova Iriansyah, on the same occasion, stressed the importance of investment in improving economy of Aceh. According to Nova Iriansyah, Aceh is very safe and conducive region to invest. Nova emphasized that he welcomed the cooperation in connectivity development of Aceh and the Andaman Nicobar Islands. Indonesia and India are two maritime neighboring countries that have sea borders with the largest economies in their respective regions. In 2018, the value of trade between the two countries will reach more than $18 billion. The value of Indian investment in Indonesia is $82.12 billion and has the potential to increase to $100 billion. The Indonesia-India Collaboration for the Aceh and Andaman Nicobar regions is also part of effort to encourage concrete cooperation in the Indo-Pacific, particularly in the maritime and connectivity fields. That was My Indonesia.
Semua tak pasti. Melayang, pikiranmu melayang.
habis nang menghilang. Tak tahu apa yang terjadi, semua tak pasti. Melayang, pikiran melayang, melayang.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you to Gosari Natural Tourism Site in Gresik, East Java. Listener traveling to Gresik Regency in East Java. Tourists can enjoy the beauty of Bawean Island. Bawean Island becomes a favorite destination of maritime tourism for tourists. Besides maritime tourism, Gresik also offers other natural tourism destination places. One of them is Gosari Natural Tourism Object or WAGOS, which also offers breathtaking natural views with many Instagrammable photo spots. The tourism object is located at Gosari Village, Ujung Pangka Sub-District, Gresik Regency, which is 40 kilometers from the central city of Gresik, and it takes 1 hour by land transportation. To enter the area, you have to pay for parking fee 3,000 rupiah for motorbike and 5,000 rupiah for four-wheeled vehicle. Listener, Gosari Natural Tourism Site or WAGOS, which was established along with the youth at the village on the 1,500 square meters land, is aimed to empower village-owned enterprises, BUMDES. Gosari Tourism Site also offers beautiful scenery. There are limestone mountains and agricultural land managed by the local people. Arriving at the natural tourism object, you will feel the coolness of the air because there are many shady trees growing in the area. You can have relax and enjoy the coolness and natural beauty. Besides enjoying its natural beauty, the management of Gosari or Wagos also provides Instagrammable photo spots for those who like photography. There are photo spots such as bird cages, windmills, hobbit houses, and various building concepts made of wood. There is also a swimming pool located beside an ancient relic spring. Moreover, there are also some ancient heritage sites located close to the tourism sites, such as pottery processing sites, ancient tombs of Tugaran, Butulan Cave, which is located on the limestone mountain. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Gosari Natural Tourism Site. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Semakin menyerang kalaulah ku dapat membaca pikiranmu dengan sayap pengharapanku ingin terbang jauh. Biar awan pun gelisah, daun-daun berguguran, namun cintamu kasih terbit laksana bintang yang bersinar cerah menerangi jiwaku. Andaikan ku dapat cinta ya.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Miss Eleni. Today, Citizen will inform you about the film Human in Oil was launched in the Netherlands. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. Amid the black campaign against the Indonesian palm oil industry in the European Union countries, Dofer, a Dutch production house, launched a film entitled Human in Oil. The film tells the dark side of the palm oil industry in Indonesia, which is the source of livelihood for small farmers in Jambi. This film raises its point of view if the European Union countries prohibit palm oil imports from Indonesia. The film is expected to provide other more humanistic perspective as an alternative to misleading opinions formed by various parties in the European Union. So far, palm oil industry has been associated with environmental damage. Therefore, this film also shows that the management of the palm oil industry in Indonesia is environmentally friendly and sustainable. The film Human in Oil was launched at the Dofer International Film Festival in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, on Friday. The Dofer International Film Festival is a show of innovative and modern documentaries and has been held since 2018. Documentary film work has its own uniqueness in the Dutch film industry and attracts a lot of public interest. In his remarks at the launch of the film, Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Mahendra Siregar, said that until this film was launched, there was no shared understanding of the issue of palm oil globally. Through this film, it is hoped that people in the Netherlands and Europe can study, absorb, and interpret this issue from a different perspective, from the ideologies, opinions, and emotions that have formed in their communities regarding oil palm. The making of the film Human in Oil by director Bergin Inal was initiated by Andika Rutten, an Indonesian diaspora in the Netherlands. Andika was inspired with his experience in taking part in the regular oil palm course organized by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in 2019. The annual program initiated since 2017 aims to provide a true perception of Indonesia's sustainable palm oil industry. The program, which lasted for 9 days, was attended by participants consisting of researchers, environmental activists, and academics from various countries, including European Union's countries. During the field visit in Jambi, the participants had the opportunity to learn, discuss, and live with local palm oil farmers there, and this experience enabled them to understand the values and views of farmers. Furthermore, the film will be distributed throughout the world, including through social media. That was Miscellany for today about the film Human in Oil was launched in the Netherlands. We will meet again with other interesting topic. See you next time.
Baru ku sadari kalau aku kan
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from Gorontalo entitled Tidi Lo Polo Palo, which will be sung by Loni Berahim and Finemi Dulanimo. Tidi Lo Polo Palo is one of traditional dances in Gorontalo. In the past, the dance was usually performed at the palace in Gorontalo traditional wedding ceremony for nobles' family. But now, common people are prohibited to perform the dance by giving requirement ethnic called Mopo Dunga, Lo Tonggu, or paying traditional permission. This must be conducted by the organizer, in which bride's family must hand over 3 sums of money in accordance with traditional determination, which is valid to be given to traditional stakeholder. Furthermore, the money is handed over to Baitul Mal as mosque's cash or traditional agency. Tidi Lo Polo Palo dance describes women's subtlety, hospitality, and the implementation of the duties and responsibilities that will be carried out after getting married. Here is Loni Berahim and Fanny Dulanimo with the song entitled Tidi Lo Polo Palo.
Oh!
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.